Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:14 in that specific summertime. This hasn't been a great day for stock markets if you're long. The Nasdaq is down 120 points. That's over 3%. The S&P 500 down 48. The Dow down 312 points. That's almost 2%. Down to 16,000, almost even on the Dow. Well, we're rapidly approaching the region of the August low, which wasn't that far away from the October low of last year. And it wasn't a great day in Europe either. The majority of indices down over 2%. That's probably going to filter through into Europe tomorrow. Into Asia tomorrow. The Nikkei today was down about 1.3%, and a number of markets in Asia were closed for the mid-autumn holiday. The Hang Seng, for example, Taiwan, Korea, they were all closed today. But the mainland Chinese markets were open, and the Shenzhen B shares are worth watching because they were the absolute leader, both in terms of timing and performance, from over 18 months ago, and they continue to find support in the region of the upper side of the original base formation. The A share index has been pretty inert, which is, I think, evidence of continued support from the government. And the renminbi was a little bit firmer in here today, but these are only very small moves within the context for the renminbi of a medium term process of allowing the currency to weaken. The biotech sector, which had been the darling of stock investors over the beginning of the year and actually all the way through from its breakout in 2010, has lost uptrend consistency. And certainly the attempts by certain politicians to highlight the fact that drug prices are high, and that has particularly influenced the biotech sector because they're spending such a large amount of money in developing new ones, and when new things come out, they're generally higher priced. So that has added an additional catalyst for consolidation within the sector, and the majority of biotech shares were down rather heavily in here today. When you look generally, I've posted in the comment of the day today as a performance filter and a high-low filter for the FTSE 100. What you can see there is that on both filters, it's the exact same shares are at the top of the list. So the best performers and those that have been making new three-month highs are the same list. But it's a comparatively small list of shares that fulfill both criteria. And that's indicative of the fact that breadth has been deteriorating. The number of shares that continue to represent leadership has decreased even further over the last 6 weeks. So when one looks at something like Nike, which has done so phenomenally well, but it is overextended, then the likelihood of it being able to sustain additional moves to the upside relative to the potential for at least a consolidation of recent gains, well, then you'd have to be betting on the latter. It's exactly the same for Amazon or for Starbucks, excuse me, or even Under Armour, which has a forward PE of 99. So that's a pretty aggressive growth multiple, which doesn't look justifiable at these levels. Then those aren't the kinds of shares that one would be rushing out to buy, because they are the ones that are most at risk right now of a mean reversion. The S&P 500 and most of the indices in Europe and indeed in Asia are trading below their respective 200-day moving averages. And in and of itself, that's not particularly important, except for the fact that they've been trading to the left of those moving averages for nearly 5 years. So what this tells us is that something has quite clearly changed in terms of the supply and demand within the market. The imbalance between supply and demand that would have helped to foment the very consistent trend that was in evidence all the way from 2012 through to earlier this year has quite clearly changed. It's going to take time to rebuild confidence, to allow the imbalance between supply and demand to be reasserted in favor of demand. When we look back at what happened in 2010 with the flash crash, there was two things that were are worth pointing out. We were in an environment at the time which was risk on, risk off, and that parlance has fallen out of usage over the last 3 years, simply because we've had this very consistent advance, which was enabled by the fact that the Federal Reserve had an incredibly accommodative monetary policy throughout that period of time. But that ended a year ago. And now we're talking, they continue to hint that they want to raise interest rates. We don't exactly know whether they're serious about raising rates this year or whether they'll wait until the beginning of next year. But they're not adding new money into the market. They're just rolling over the debt that they have. And that's been the case for a year. So the additional kick from additional liquidity hasn't been in evidence. And that has contributed to the loss of momentum. Well, the other, that means then we're back in a risk-on, risk-off environment. And right now, this is most definitely risk-off. What we also can learn from the flash crash was we had the chart, it was on May 6th, 2010, and we had the chart seminar a week later. And the question that was on the lips of every person at the seminar was, is it important? Can we just, the decline was so abrupt, can we just ignore that on the chart? And of course, everybody was asking that question. It wasn't just delegates at the chart seminar. And of course, if you're sitting around and asking, is it important or does it affect the way the market is going to perform, it means that you're not buying. You're sitting around and waiting. And that robs the market of a potential source of demand. And it led to a relatively lengthy period, over 6 months, of volatile ranging. And the traumatic event that happened on August 24th of this year was very similar, when ETF pricing models failed and we saw just incredible moves in some of these ETFs. That's incredibly debilitating to sentiment. It means then that we're in for a more volatile environment, and the VIX index is now sustaining higher levels than we've seen in 3 years. So that tells all of the algorithmic trading systems that they have to reduce their position sizes if they're buying, but it tells the short sellers that they should be increasing their positions. The fact that the US dollar has been rallying, well, that's probably over now. The US dollar is, at least versus the euro and versus the yen, has probably risen about as much as it's going to. The yen today is trading below 120, just about, and that's also the region of the 200-day moving average. And the Nikkei today was down about 1.3%. The Nikkei is unlikely to be able to sustain a rally if the yen strengthens from here. Significant strength in either the yen or the euro, which have been the carry trade currencies of choice, would be representative of deleveraging and would contribute to additional volatility. With that said, there is no corrective phase that doesn't create buying opportunities, and there are certainly buying opportunities being created here, but perhaps not yet in some of the higher flying sectors, but rather in those that have had the most aggressive sell-offs. Well, for example, Procter & Gamble has had a very, very large pullback. Walmart has had a big pullback, and these are shares that have reasonable yields, and the size of their pullbacks already have improved their valuations. Therefore, when one is looking for buying opportunities, there is no great hurry. That one can look for evidence of support building where there has already occurred a large overextension relative to the trend mean, and at least then one has the potential that there's going to be a reversionary rally, rather than hoping that an instrument will find support. And when one looks and clicks through a range of shares, there is evidence, plenty of evidence, particularly in the resources sector, where you have accelerating downtrends. Repsol in Italy is a very good example. It was at 17 approximately 2 months ago, and it's at 10 today. And certainly the deterioration in Glencore today is indicative of a panicky environment. Well, we don't have evidence just yet that these shares have found support, but acceleration is a trend ending. It signifies that the lower they go, the more likely they are that they're eventually going to have a bounce. Rather than chasing anything that is overextended relative to the MA, it would probably be better to keep a close eye on the types of shares that could potentially lead us out of this corrective phase. But there's little evidence yet that this corrective phase is over. And the environment that we're in would suggest that the sources of demand that would propel the market back up and to test its highs are largely absent. But what we do have is a short-term oversold condition, and we are approaching an area of potential support. So from a trader's perspective, then there is the potential for a bounce in here. But I think that from an investor's perspective, then judicious chart picking and those stock picking, those types of shares that have got reasonably good dividends and the ability to pay them back and continue to pay them out, and those that and particularly if you've had very deep pullbacks, those are the kinds of shares that are likely to lead us out of a corrective phase. In stocks, well, obviously bonds have done very well today. The long bond was up over 2 full points, and gold was down $14. It's back to 1130, having gone up to test the 1150 area last week. Platinum is down 33. It's down to $917. So this has been quite a deterioration, an additional deterioration, and it's now sustaining the breakdown. And palladium, having been the one that had rallied best, was down by 18 today. And that had looked like a reversionary rally, and that reversionary rally has pretty much run its course. It's been a poor day, generally speaking, on commodities, and copper was down an additional 3 cents. And oil prices were down over a dollar, both on Brent and WTI. But oil prices have already had a very large decline, and they're still trading above $40 on both contracts. This is still a depressed environment, but I think it would be probably rash to be saying that prices are going to go into the 20s. That would be extrapolating the trend when we have some evidence, at least, of short-term support building. Rather than thinking about how much lower they can go, I think the better question is how much higher can they go? And the fact that there is so much additional supply becomes economic at levels that are not that much above where we are right now would suggest that the potential for oil prices to rally from here in any kind of significant way is rather limited. The one commodity that is worth watching, because it's been trending lower for 5 years, is sugar. It had a very good day on Friday and was in an environment today which was very weak for commodities, was absolutely unchanged. And Südzucker in Germany, which is the largest producer of sugar in the world, has broken its downtrend, and that is a rather interesting circumstance. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.